Hey, got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio. And I want to welcome Steph to the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Morning, listeners.
How are we doing? It's the end of the year. Ooh. Are you all sorted?
I'm never sorted.
You're never sorted?
Just at the point of taking every day as it comes.
Right. So we have Steph in every 4 weeks for a chat, and this is the last proper interview of the year, actually.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And the segment's called Inside Your Mind, which covers all sorts of things. Mm. What Inside Our Mind stuff are we doing today?
Well, as soon as it's Christmas, I thought, well, you know, Christmas.
Right, focus on Christmas, because it's very hard to ignore this close.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And how people deal with Christmas, because there's lots of ways of dealing with Christmas, and there's probably as many ways as there are people on the planet, probably. And so I thought we could talk about some ways to have fun over Christmas, and then also how to deal with Christmas if Christmas isn't your most favourite time of year, you know, if you're feeling a bit blue over Christmas, because we kind of expect everybody to be happy and jolly like Santa Claus, but some people, you know, they just can't do that. So, you know, so a bit of both, really.
Mm.
How's that sound?
Okay. What's just opening gambit with that?
I've written a couple of articles. So one I just put up last week, and it's called, what is it called? Hang on. The Kiwi Christmas Survival Guide, Sun, Sand and Silliness. And that's about, it starts off talking about how when I came to New Zealand like 100 years ago or something, it all seems really strange. Even now, when I think Christmas, the first thing that comes to my head is snow.
Mm.
Even though I've lived in New Zealand a lot longer than I ever lived in the UK.
But it's kind of like... Did it snow on Christmas Day when you were a kid in the UK?
Sometimes it did.
Which part of the UK were you in?
In the Midlands.
Okay, so there's a chance.
Yeah. Oh, they have snow there all the time. Well, not all the time. They don't have it in summer usually, but... but
usually it's not a white Christmas for most of the UK.
It's not a white Christmas, but you always wish for it. So you're always like, oh, I hope it's snowing in the morning.
Right.
You know, we get up, so open the curtains and...
It's the anticipation.
Scrape the frost off the inside of the windows in the bedroom. And to see if we could see snow. Sometimes it was frost and sometimes there was snow there, which made it kind of special. But usually it's not as, you know, like you see in the movies, all white and sparkly. It had turned to slush by lunchtime, and it would be this like brown slushy type thing all over the place.
Lovely.
You know?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or it had turned to black ice, so you go out and fall flat on your face, you know, do a face plant.
Ouch.
So, you know, the movies always make it seem magical, and you know, honestly, if you wake up in the morning and it has been snowing, it is magical because it's really still and calm, and you know, we'd be going, okay, let's get the sledge out, and we'd go place on the sledge and stuff like that. But you know, more often than not, says it either turned to slush or we didn't have that. And then when I came here, I was like, you know, it was like 26 degree heat. And the retailers had done all the shops out like snowdrifts with cotton wool, you know, nestled in the corner of the windows like it had been blown there by a gentle wind. I'm going, yeah, it doesn't kind of make much sense. It was just hilarious, you know, it just seemed. And then they were inside a mall like that as well. Like, how would snow get in a mall in a shop, you know?
Well, that's, yeah, I guess that's a testament to the superficiality.
Well, it's kind of
the superficial side of it.
And the European side of it, of things, I suppose, because there's a lot of Europeans here. So there was that. And then I think New Zealand now has kind of stepped into, you know, well, it's summer, so we have to make the most of it. It's also summer holidays and for a lot of people. And let's do it our own way, you know. I shared a video the other day on my newsletter. It was a Kiwi guy. I can't think of what his name was now. It was really funny. It was only about 2.5 minutes, and he was talking about he was pretending that he was sitting there, and Santa says, "Ho ho ho!" You know, are you getting excited about Christmas? And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, sort of." You know, and he says, "Well, you don't sound very excited." It was an American Santa, and he goes, "Yeah, well, we're Kiwis, you know, we don't do that." And he goes, "Oh yeah," he said, and then he said something about, it was an Australian phrase, you know, and he says, no, mate. He says, that's Australia. He says, this is New Zealand. And he goes, oh, yeah. He says, so chuck another shrimp on the barbie then, eh? And he goes, no. He says, I think you'll find that's Australia as well. He says, we think, you know, chucking one shrimp on a barbie is not very economic, not very efficient. You know, we'd rather chuck the whole bag on there. And it was really kind of laid back and typical Kiwi, you know, very funny. That found it on YouTube. So, yeah, and then, you know, so how do people celebrate Christmas? And then, you know, what are all the mistakes that people make at Christmas? Because Christmas often, you know, when we look back on Christmases, it's often about the funny things that happen that we remember. You know, unless there was something, you know, really bad happened, then you remember that. But if it wasn't, then it's often something funny that happened, you know, yeah. Like somebody sat on the pavlova or, you know, somebody mixed up the cream for sun cream or something like that, you know.
My father and I, used to, when I was a kid, we'd go around taking photos of all the people sleeping after Christmas lunch, dotted all around the house.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's that. And so I thought I wrote about some Christmas kind of activities that people could do. I mean, I'm sure they've got their own activities anyway. But the other thing is that it gets a bit chaotic, you know, and sometimes people are torn between, you know, going to, you know, like a married couple going to one parent's place or the other parent's place, and it can end up in all kinds of things. But so, kind of things like celebrating the mishaps, like, you know, one time it was Boxing Day and I'd cooked this chicken and put it on the bench and I went outside, to pick washing out or something or get some parsley or something, and when I come back, I'll come in and I went, where's the chicken gone? It was like it had gone to another dimension or something. And I thought, where's it gone? The plate was still there and my dog had stolen it and taken it to his bed and he was chomping away eating it. That was our lunch, right?
Was that in any way recoverable?
No. Not once he'd have been on his bed and he'd been jumping on it, you know. So, and then another time, my aunt and uncle were over from the UK. My uncle had just retired and we were driving around. I think we were down Fittyhanger somewhere. And I said, there was, you know, like loads of possums everywhere, dead ones, and one had expanded with the heat. You know how they do.
Yeah.
And I said to them, I said, shall we pop a possum? And they said, what do you mean? I said, you know, if you run over one, when they're all expanding like that, they pop, you see. So my Uncle Wesley was all up for it. So I drove over one. Oh, my God, the stench was just...
When she said that, I was like, surely, no.
Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever done it. And it was like after about 5 minutes, we had to stop the car and get out because we could hardly breathe, you know. It was like, and then my auntie got down on the floor and she said, it's stuck underneath the car. And I went, is it? She goes, no. She said, it may as well be, though.
Something was.
So it was the last time I popped a possum anyway.
Well, that's a very it's a very strange Christmas story, Steph.
Oh, all my stories are strange.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's coming next.
But no, it's okay, so, you know, about having some fun. So what can you do? Pull out the games and the crackers. You know, like most places have got games, whether it's Monopoly and you can have a fight or whether it's something, you know, more simple or people telling stories, or you can have, you know, what's the funniest Christmas you've ever had? And everybody tells a story about the funniest Christmas they've ever had. You know, the jokes in the Christmas crackers, like, you know, what do you call a penguin in the desert? Lost. You know, and then everybody groans like, oh, God, that's the worst joke ever, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be laughing, everyone else groaning, no doubt.
Oh, I've got some terrible jokes. And then you can make up your own riddles and see who can come up with the most ridiculous. You know, and then if you have a pavlova collapse, you could just add more whipped cream, or you could do, if you forgot to buy somebody a gift, you could wrap up a packet of biscuits and say it's a minimalist Christmas present this year or something, you know. But it's kind of like... you know, I think we stress too much about it. It's like one day, and there's all this kind of build up that everything's got to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be perfect because
it's something to do with the summer break happening as well.
Yeah,
like I've worked in the construction industry, and the phrase "done by Christmas" strikes fear into the heart of everyone because it means it's going to be really stressful and you probably won't quite get there.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah, it's something. So I guess in the UK, like it's. It's a break, but it's not this big end of year. Well, it is the end of the year.
Well, it's different.
But for us, it's the end of the working year. Like, it's this big block.
Yeah, because we have Christmas. We have Christmas holidays as well as summer holidays.
Mm.
Well, as in Europe, you have Christmas. most people don't have a winter holiday as such unless they're going skiing somewhere, you know.
Mm.
They'll have a holiday in July, so we have everything all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and if we're going to have a winter holiday in June or July or August or something to go skiing or something, or go overseas or something like that to avoid the winter, but we don't, you know, Australia and probably New Zealand and I suppose Pacific Islands to a certain extent are in a different situation because the holidays and Christmas all happen at the same time. And so that's extra pressure on everybody to get everything done by Christmas because it's not only the end of the year, it's like a month off then. So you don't have to wait like a few days and then everybody's back. You have to wait a month. So if it's not done by Christmas, then you're not going to get it till February, basically.
it's importing a culture from the other side of the world.
Mm.
It's kind of added to the stress.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in the building industry anymore, so I just stop.
Mm. Well, but I don't think it's just the building industry. I think it's everybody, you know. It's like, oh, you know, I was ordering something the other day and I was thinking, I wonder if I'm going to get it by Christmas. Because it was like, if I don't get it by Christmas, then I'm not going to get it till probably the middle of January, you know.
Actually, tell you something that happens. The building industry stops on Christmas Day, but then on Boxing Day, the DIY industry kicks into gear.
Right.
Because everyone's like, I'm going to paint the batch over summer. I'm going to build a deck. I'm going to...
Yeah.
It's like, what happened to relaxing?
I know.
But there's an awful lot of DIY happens.
Well, even yesterday I wanted to get a face mask to spray the weeds at home. And so I thought, I'll just pop into Mitre 10. Honestly, the car park was full. It was the whole area. It was like, I couldn't believe it.
Matt, do you have to go to Hamilton later today?
Oh, do you? Oh, good for you. No, I've done my dash for the year.
It's just the way it's worked out because I've got some other things, appointments that, I just imagine.
Yeah, well, that was Sunday lunchtime-ish. I thought I'd...
Okay. So we've established that we're doing it all wrong.
Well, we're not doing it all wrong. But it's like, I think we just, it's about like lifting the pressure. Like if something goes wrong, so what?
Mm.
You know, laughing at it, like, you know, it'll be something to laugh at in future. Like I always say, if something goes wrong, or I make a mistake or do something stupid, which is, you know, I do it quite often, then I'll say to myself, okay, well, I'll look back on this and laugh.
Mm.
And if the answer's yes, then it's like, why wait?
That's a good philosophy, actually.
Why not laugh now, you know?
Yeah.
Because, and so if we can have that kind of more laid-back attitude, which, you know, Kiwis are more laid-back than, say, Europeans generally. You know, if we can have that attitude over Christmas and if something goes wrong, well, it's gone wrong, you know, just have a laugh about it and put it back together and move on. The other thing people could do is have a pavlova-making contest so they could get some basic pavlovas and then make teams up and give them a whole lot of fruit and sprinkles and stuff and have them make something interesting out of the pavlova, you know, so that it's a laugh. It could have a round of best jokes. Everybody tells their best joke and then there's loads to choose from. And then if you, on my website, there's Tommy Cooper Classics, if anybody knows Tommy Cooper. There's about 55, I think,
jokes
of his.
Is that like an old school comedian from the UK?
Tommy Cooper, how do I explain him? So he was really tall, like 6'7" or something. He used to wear a fez. And he had a really kind of pulpy face. So just looking at him made you laugh. And big feet, you know, and he was kind of like clownish. And most of his jokes were like one-liners, you know. And so if you just read them, you'd probably think... Well, he said, I went to the doctor the other day and said, you know, have you got anything for wind? And he said, yeah, he gave me a kite. Right. So, but because the way he said it.
It's the delivery, isn't it?
It was the timing of it, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember me and my dad used to sit there waiting for him to come on TV on, I don't know, it was Friday, Saturday afternoon or something, about 5 o'clock at 6 o'clock. And it might be 10 to 6 or something. And then me and my dad would be cracking up laughing. And Mum would come in and she'd go, what are you laughing at? And we go, oh, Tommy Cooper. And she'd go, well, he's not on yet. We go, oh, no, but he will be in a minute. Because we could just imagine him, you know. And he's also a magician. But most of his magic tricks used to fail. But then every now and then one would be brilliant.
So, right. They had to lower the expectations and then get a...
But it's like those jokes, you know.
As you mentioned, that watching the TV, like that's a big thing in the UK, isn't it? A Christmas Day TV. Like there's... Yeah. They've got these specials.
Yeah, because it's freezing outside.
Yeah. There's nothing else to do. Everyone's inside.
Yeah, you don't go outside and play cricket, you know, because has been snowing, it's slush by then, usually by lunchtime.
Do you notice it's different now with the internet, but did you notice what's on TV on Christmas Day in New Zealand?
No.
It was awful, all really boring stuff because no one was going to be watching. It'd be like Circus with the Stars or something.
Remember that as a kid,
you're turning that on. Yeah.
Circus with the Stars.
Yeah.
Not Dancing with the Stars.
No, Circus with the Stars. I'm talking about when I was a kid.
All right, what did they do? Trapeze or something.
Famous people trying to do circus stuff, so they weren't as good as the normal circus people. But the TVNZ would put it on because they thought, well, no one's watching anyways, and we've got to use this up somewhere, so we'll put it on Christmas Day because everyone will be at the beach or having a barbecue or, you know.
Yeah, whereas in England, they'd have all the best things on, you know, apart from the Queen's speech or something. You know?
Yeah, it's the complete opposite. Is the King doing a speech? I suppose he is.
Yeah, I don't know.
My grandfather was he's very old school even for his generation. Everything stopped for the Queen's speech.
Oh, is that right?
On Christmas Day, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Remember that? We had to shut up as kids.
I don't know what happened in our house. I don't think we were that sort of, what's the word?
Your West Indian dad wasn't that of a royalist?
Well, I think my mum might have been a bit, but I don't know. I don't remember it. You know, it was just boring as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, it was the fact that everything stopped for it is what I remember.
So, it's, you know, it was different and... Anyway, you know, just going back to New Zealand, you could have the best jokes. There's a couple of pages of jokes on my website, it's insideyourmind.com, if anybody wants to have a look. Then I've got everybody gets to tell their most embarrassing Christmas story. So you go around the table and, well, you know, whatever you're doing, and everybody tells their most ridiculous Christmas story or funny or embarrassing Christmas story. Or they could write it down and put them in a hat, and then you have to guess when you read them out who it is that's had that particular story. The Pavlova decoration contest, the bad Santa gift exchange. Not sure this is particularly raglan thinking, but it's about have a $5 limit and everybody buys the quirkiest, most ridiculous present possible, like the tackier the better, like socks with flamingos on or a 90s CD that nobody wants or a plastic garden gnome or something.
I've got a few CDs nobody wants here in the studio.
Oh, right. Yeah. I've got quite a collection there. And you've even got those tapes at the end.
No.
Oh, I see.
There's no tapes there, Steph.
Oh, they're double CDs, aren't they?
Yeah.
All right.
I was looking around. Maybe there was a tape. We've got a cassette player that works.
Okay.
If you want.
Really? No, I just wondered if those work.
I had to replace the rubber bands in it because the old one, it has rubber bands in it, and the original ones were so old they'd started to congeal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This rather thing that makes the roundy bits go round.
Right, the roundy bits go round.
The technical term there.
Technical term, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell I'm an expert. Anyway.
And you could have a jandal throwing competition or a gumboot throwing competition.
This is the summer version, isn't it? The jandal throwing competition. Yeah.
And you could have extra points for people with the silliest walk, like Monty Python's Ministry of Silly Walks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tall people are probably going to win that. I'm thinking of John Cleese style.
Oh, no, exactly. Physiques. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So then I've got, on my website, I've got this article. What did I say it was called? The Kiwi Christmas Survival Guide, Sun, Sand and Silliness. And I said, you know, in Raglan we could always head down to the beach and watch visitors come in and taking the jandals off just as they get to the sand and then doing the black sand haka across the beach.
Black sand haka, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that at this beach, our beach, yes.
Yeah,
definitely
exactly.
An issue, yeah.
Yeah. What's the other one? Well, the other thing I've got on this article is Graham Norton's Red Chair Kiwi Tales. You know, how he quite often has Kiwis on telling their stories.
He seems to think that New Zealanders tell great stories.
Yeah, he does. Well, I think he's coming to New Zealand, isn't he, as well? I think I heard on the radio he was coming to New Zealand. So there's a collection of Kiwis there telling their stories. And then, there's something that we've played as a family and that I kind of introduced, and it's It's a stupid game, but it's kind of
you're apologising for it in advance.
It makes you like the theory is that everything is metaphorical with something else. So everything you can think about it, and you can create a metaphor for it. So this game is one person says thinks of a person. So they say out loud whether it's male or female, whether it's whether they're dead or alive. And what genre they're in, right? So it could be, so the person I'm thinking of is dead, male, and from the music industry, right? And that's all. So that's all your information you get.
Yes.
And then the other people have to say, well, if he was a vegetable, for example, what sort of vegetable would he be? And you go, well, he'd be maybe a carrot, right? And then they say, if he was a piece of furniture, what sort of furniture would he be? And they go, well, you know, he might be an ornate chair, right? And then if he was a car, what sort of car would he be? Well, he'd be a Lamborghini or whatever.
Lamborghini. We'll settle on that.
And so they think about all these different things, and then they come up with an answer. And honestly, it's a really fun thing. You can do it while you're doing other things at the time.
I'm trying to figure out what sort of vegetable Elvis would be. And I can't do that. A car would be easier.
What sort of car would he be?
Well, I don't know, but something... one of those 60s American big cars with the wings on them.
Cadillac or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Cadillac, right. Yeah. It's amazing how people can come up with an answer.
Mm.
You know, and it's, as I say, it's fun. And so they just usually people just try and think, you know, guess what it is straight away. And then you go, no, that's not it. You know, you've got to play the game. You know, if he was this, what would it be? If he was that, what would it be? And it's amazing how people will come up with the right answer.
Mm.
You have to try it.
Well, I guess that gets you out of the analytical brain. You're probably better at if you're going to be guessing based on weirdness. You want the other side of your brain.
Yeah. So those are some things. But I think the main thing is there's also a little video on this article, and it's called An Unexpected Christmas, and it's St Paul's Church in Auckland. Children doing a kind of an updated nativity, and it's about, I don't know, I think it's about 8 minutes or something like that, but it's really funny, and it's about 12 years old. The kids have probably got kids of their own by now, so I think the kid that plays God is about nine. That range from there down to about three.
Yeah,
but it's really
they might be horrified that you think they've got children already. It sounds like they're in their very early 20s.
Yeah, but some people do have kids in their early 20s. Yeah,
and a lot wait till they're well into their 30s as well.
So but it's very endearing, and you know, it stands the test of time. So those are some of the things around Christmas, but I think the main thing is to, you know, accept that it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be a get-together and people enjoying themselves, you know, and it doesn't have to be planned down to the last minute or anything like that. It can just be a fun time.
Yeah,
it's about people getting together, isn't it, really, and sharing food and, you know, if the food's been dropped in the sand, well, too bad, you know. Then you've got to give it to the seagulls and start again. And then the other aspect of that was about people who, you know, maybe don't enjoy Christmas as much. And so, you know, I've got another article on the website called Ho Ho Hold It Together, A Guide to Overcoming Christmas Blues. And this is, you know, sometimes people at Christmas, they're not feeling... you know, the Christmas vibe or the looking forward to it and getting excited about it because it brings back maybe a lot of sad memories or, you know, they're just not into it for whatever reason.
I actually read something recently. It was a guy who was doing a video on YouTube or something where he was saying, like, for people who've had quite traumatic childhoods, Christmas can be really troubling because it reminds you of your childhood whether you want it to or not.
Yeah.
Because it's, yeah. Mm. So, yeah, that's quite heavy to introduce that, but...
yeah,
that's just something that I kind of picked up on recently.
And I think that's the thing, is that sometimes people find themselves in a kind of a festive funk, for want of a better word. And they, you know, the more that they see people around them having a good time and enjoying it and getting into the Christmas spirit, the more they feel, you know, a bit down and blue, you know. So, I don't know. And it could be a lot of things, you know, that, that remind people of that. So in NLP, we've got this term called anchoring, which means that basically we get anchored back into negative experiences, negative emotions that could be related to Christmas. So
can I just leap in and say NLP is neuro-linguistic programming for the uninitiated? Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, anchoring can be good or bad. It could be, you know, you see a picture and you go, oh, remember that Christmas? We had, you know, huge fun and this happened and that happened. Or it could be something negative. So some of the things that could trigger people to be in, you know, not in the spirit of Christmas, if you like, is being reminded of somebody that they lost, you know. So yeah. That person's missing this Christmas and they weren't, maybe they weren't last Christmas. And so that's, you know, they're going to be sad about that. It could be some, you know, they're trying to put a happy smile on their face, but because they don't want to be the local Grinch, but it could be quite troubling for them. So it's important to kind of keep a lookout for people that might not be as happy as they usually are and maybe check in with them, you know. Because I've worked with quite a few people who've suffered from the Christmas blues, you know.
Yeah. Not something you suffer from?
Oh, I do a bit sometimes because, you know, I'm the only one in New Zealand. I haven't got any relatives here.
Yeah.
But I usually have a chat on Christmas morning on Messenger with them all. Well, yeah. Not all of them, some of them. So, you know, but it's like, that's just how it is. I mean, I've been back a few times and those have been really good Christmases because most times when I've been back, I've just surprised them. I've just turned up.
Well done.
Some funny stories about that, you know, about just turning up and surprising people. So I think the thing is for people who are feeling that is basically to acknowledge that loss, you know, not try and sort of skim over it or plaster over it, but to acknowledge it because trying to put on a happy face for the benefit of others isn't going to work, you know. It's like putting a Band-Aid over a gaping wound. And there's no healing in it. So it's important to, you know, acknowledge that loss initially to yourself and take time to remember the person. You know, maybe light a candle and sit and, you know, if you need to have a cry. You know, there's no harm in crying. It's better to get it out than keep it in.
There's no rule about not crying on Christmas Day.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Something we can cry with joy or we can cry with sadness, you know. And also remind yourself of the positive impact that that person had on your life. And also then be compassionate with yourself for feeling a bit down, you know, because if you keep going, come on, you know, it's Christmas, you'd be over this, but it just puts it on hold and you're going to experience it at some stage. So better to take some time and do that, you know. And remember that that person is still alive in you in some way, you know. And if you feel comfortable, it might be useful to talk to somebody about how you feel about with especially with people who knew the person that you're grieving, you know, because they most likely feel the same way. I mean, I've worked with whole families who are being strong for each other, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, and they're all, you know, trying to hold it together for each other, but they're all falling apart. And when I've got them together, they've kind of gone, it's ridiculous, you know, that we're doing this because they're all feeling it. And then, of course, what happens is one looks at the other and think, well, they look happy. Maybe I should be happy too, not realising that that person's holding it together for the other one who's holding it together for another one. And, you know, so let supportive friends know if you're experiencing the Christmas blues. And, you know, probably a bit late now, but think about how you'd like to spend Christmas. And then make some plans for it to happen. So you might want to go away, you know, and be on your own or be, you know, with just your immediate family or something. So another reason could be that you or other members of your family have moved away and the family can't all be together. And that's kind of inevitable as children grow. You know, they're going to leave home and perhaps start having their own families. And while life involves constant change, Christmas is a time that's often associated with happy childhood memories, isn't it, of safety and security and togetherness and love for a lot of people. Some people, as you said, not. And those are values that we share and we long to rekindle them at Christmas because it's that kind of, as we're told, I mean, this is the thing, it's like a lot of this is due to the propaganda from the TV that this is how Christmas is meant to be.
I know. Went through this period in my 20s of being very cynical about Christmas because it was kind of when, you know, at some point after you're not a child anymore, your eyes get opened up to the the superficial stuff that's shoved in your face
yeah.
by the people trying to get you to buy presents for all and sundry.
That's right.
Put yourself and then
all
for
the
that.
Christmas movies. I was watching one last night on Netflix. I was watching one. I can't even remember what it was called, but it was so corny. I still watched it, though, and then I gave it a thumbs down. And then, so it can be hard to escape from it. It's like everywhere, you know, it's on TV, it's on the radio, it's on in the shops. Everywhere you look, it's Christmas, and it's, you know, people going, oh, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas. And so it's reinforced and reinforced. And if you're not feeling it, then it's more kind of in your face because you're not feeling Happy Christmas or Merry Christmas.
I must admit, I'm one of those people who doesn't feel like saying Merry Christmas. I don't really know what that means. I guess I don't, and I'm just wondering now.
Merry.
Merry Christmas.
I always associate you with drunkenness, to be honest. Oh, but, you know, I'll say, oh, I'm a bit merry. It means I've usually had a few
yeah,
drinks.
There you, okay, you know? Right, there you go. That's what the disconnect is then, isn't it? It's a family but event.
I don't
and we're
think,
saying,
I don't
drink
think
up
that's what it means. I think it means, like, really happy.
It makes sense to me, though. Drink up and be merry. Oh, it's a Christmas event. It's a holiday. It's a kid's thing. A family day. Drink up.
Drink up.
I think that's the disconnect in there.
So, and the thing is now is while it's not always possible for families to be together, they can always get on Skype or Messenger or FaceTime and can at least see each other now, whereas they hadn't been able to do that like 20 years ago. You know, it was just phone call, which cost you a fortune. Mm. And, you know, I know families that organise to open the presents when they're on Zoom or Skype or Messenger or something
yeah,
so that they
yeah.
can actually see the reaction of the children may be opening the presents while they're connecting with each other, you know. So that
yeah.
that's something now that's improved in terms of we don't physically have to. I mean, you can't get hugs and that at the moment anyway through these things, but maybe that's
you think
coming
the technology's
well.
Coming to you, Steph?
Well, we can only hope, can't we? I always hope that Beaming will be here soon. You know, I can just stand in the kitchen and go, okay, beam me to the UK or beam me to the Caribbean or something in the middle of winter, you know, and then we just appear there and we don't have to do all this onerous travelling by air and sitting in an airport for hours and hours waiting for a flight. And
I don't think that's happening in our lifetime, I have to be honest.
No, well,
I'm honest with you.
Well,
sorry to hit you with that.
Oh, well. Well, you're a merry little person, aren't you? okay, and then another reason that people might not be feeling that merry, since we're using that word, is, you know, maybe they're strapped for cash. And a lot of people
yeah.
are struggling at the moment
yeah.
with, you know, the increase in food prices and,
mm.
you know, all the extra expenses that we expect at Christmas. With, you know,
yeah, and the pressure to get flash toys for the kids because
exactly.
their mates are getting flash
yeah,
toys
that's
too.
Right. That's
and that's
right.
probably another one, like your family of people who are trying to hold it together for each other.
Yeah.
Groups of families or trying to match each other because their kids are saying, my
yeah.
friend gets
yeah, yeah.
good presents.
Oh, well, kids come home and I'll go, oh, you know, can I have a skateboard, you know, and you go, parents might say, well, no, you know, we can't afford it. Oh, everybody in my class is getting one. And I say, well, you just say, everybody in your class is getting one?
Well, there is that too,
yeah.
yes.
everybody? Yeah. Oh, you know, and also, you know, like explaining to kids that, you know, that the money isn't there this year.
But,
nice
what if,
kids
but are there still families where Father Christmas is a real thing? And Father Christmas has an unlimited budget, so he'll be turning up with something.
Right. Well, it could be Secret Santa or something. They just get one thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's. But I think explaining to children that, yeah, you know, okay, Father Christmas does bring things and other things we do, and so we, you know, we can't do that this year, and explaining to them if they're old enough.
Yeah, that depends on how you handle things as a family too,
yeah.
and that's
yeah.
where I'm getting in trouble here. I can't.
Yeah, how would you
do it? There's no one. Well, we didn't pretend that Santa Claus or Father Christmas was real. And some people say, "Oh, that's terrible." You know, you're like you're taking all the fun out of it. But I don't know. That's what happened at our house. Like we didn't when I was a kid. You know, for some reason the Tooth Fairy was real though. I don't know if that was. I don't know how thought through that was.
I think I think we believed in Santa Claus for a bit, but then all the presents that have, you know, to Stephanie from Auntie Betty and Uncle John, or
yeah,
you know, Mom and Dad or whatever. So, but never really questioned that. I suppose we were too young, and then by the time we'd realised that Santa Claus wasn't real, Maybe I shouldn't have said that. It might be kids listening.
It's too late. We've already said it several times.
I think kids tend to believe in Santa up to about the age of 7. Because they just take everything in like a sponge. You can tell them anything,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then about 8, they start to, you know, be a bit suspect about it. But they don't really care as long as they get presents.
Well, yeah, there's an element of convenience about continuing to believe it.
Yeah.
So, but
we used to have put out a Christmas presents that all go under the tree. And then miraculously during Christmas Eve when we'd all gone to bed, they'd appear at the foot of Mum and Dad's bed. In 4 piles, because there were 4 kids.
Right.
And so as soon as it was, like, reasonable to get up, which was sometime after 6 o'clock from memory.
Oh, no. Poor parents.
We'd go in and open our presents, and Mum and Dad would sit there watching us open our presents, you know.
I suppose that works. They don't actually have to get out of bed.
No, that's right. Yeah. So it was like, that was the kind of thing that used to happen in our house anyway. So going back to strap for cash, you know, I mean, people can make gifts or, you know, they just have one secret Santa or something like that. But kids do want whatever the friends are having, and sometimes those aren't cheap, are they? And then the parents feel obliged to try and get it, and then they go into debt. And, you know, any council will tell you that, or budgeter will tell you that the busiest time of year is January and February when, you know, the bills come in. And people can't pay them. So it's worthwhile thinking about whether that short burst of, you know, pleasure is worth it if you're going to be in debt for months after, you know.
If you can kind of separate your children from advertising, that's got to be helpful.
Yeah.
Because advertisers take tremendous advantage of how...
Well, they're advertising probably to children a lot of the time, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Mm. And like you say, up till 7, they're a sponge anyway. There's no judgment there.
No.
No. Discernment about what they're watching at all.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe no TV for 3 months before Christmas.
Well, you didn't used to be allowed to advertise to kids.
Didn't you? Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but after, I don't know, you guys got Thatcher in 78 or something in the UK. We got the Labour government in 84 that set about the change for all that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they changed everything and that was part of it.
Right.
That protection of just family time and
right. And
things. Yeah,
because we forget what the reason is, you know. If people are religious, the reason for the season, as they say, but even if you're not religious, it shouldn't really be about how many gifts you can get and how much money you get spent on you. It's really about having time with people that you care about and having a laugh and a joke and relaxing, chilling out a bit, you know. Because, you know, in New Zealand, as you said before, it's pretty stressful by the time you get to Christmas. I mean, I'm worn out. You know, I'm like, all I want to do is sit there and do nothing, if that's possible. You know,
yeah, please,
absolutely nothing. But then I'll probably fall asleep.
Well, this means you need to sleep.
So one of the ways then is avoid the problem is leave your credit card at home, or if you've got to take it with you, then you know, determine beforehand what budget you've got that you're not going to be, you know, regretting it come the 1st of January. You know. And, you know, the thing is, children are resilient. They'll get over not having exactly what they want.
Yeah. The younger they are, the quicker they forget it.
Yeah. Exactly. Because they're living in the present. They're not thinking about the future. It's like, you know, that's why they always like, it's 3 more sleeps. Like, it's like it's 14 days. It means nothing to kids because they're living in the present moment.
Yeah.
So they can kind of get their head around sleeps. But if you said, oh, it's 18 sleeps to Christmas, that Christmas had come and go and they wouldn't even know, you know, if they didn't see any of the friends because they haven't got the concept of time at that age.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
Remove them from the space-time continuum and you won't see advertising.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the solution. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And then look for ways to make Christmas affordable. Some of these probably a bit late now, but can you make gifts for Christmas or what food can you make instead of buying it? Like last year, I made 20 dozen mince pies and gave away.
20 dozen?
20 dozen, yeah. I've already made 6.
What possessed you?
I just like making them and giving them away. People like my pastry. So. And then they go, where'd you get the pastry from? And I go, I made it. And they go, you made it? Like, and I go, yeah. But it's expensive this year because butter's the price of, you know, I use butter.
Mm.
and, you know, obviously flour, and then mincemeat was really expensive, but it's probably half as much again as it was last year.
But it's still cheaper than buying mince pies.
Well, and they don't taste as good as mine, honestly.
Full of preservatives and stuff. Yeah.
So, you know, getting all that done. So I'm making it, and people like getting them because they, you know, they otherwise have to buy them. And then, you know, they're expensive. And I think mine are better. So things like that, you know, could you make some small Christmas cakes? This might be a bit late, seeing as it's, you know, the day before Christmas Eve.
I don't know. I think a lot of people are leaving everything to this Monday and Tuesday.
Well, the thing is with Christmas mince pies, you can make those. I mean, I made 2 dozen this morning before I came out. I made them last night and I put them in the oven this morning because I wanted them to be fresh. So, you know, planning ahead of the time can make a big difference. The other thing is, like, if you're strapped for cash this year, then maybe start a Christmas club. So you put in $10 a week from now till next Christmas, and by next Christmas you'll have $520 to spend on Christmas.
Mm.
You know, and you might not miss that $10 a week. The other thing is, agree to an amount that you'll spend on Christmas presents, you know, for each other, and then stick to it. So you say, we're going to spend $30 or $50 or $10, whatever it is. And then everybody agrees that that's what it's going to be. And then that secret Santa is a good idea, where you just buy one gift for somebody in the family. Everybody gets one gift rather than everybody buying a gift from everybody.
Yeah.
You know, because that gets ridiculous. Tell people that you won't be buying expensive presents this year. You know, when I moved into the tiny house, I said, I don't want lots of stuff. Don't buy me stuff because I've got nowhere to put it. You know?
Yeah. There's so much stuff in the world now too.
I know.
It's, yeah.
I mean, when I went out to buy the town yesterday, I was standing there looking lost, like, oh, I've gone on my ride to another planet in another time zone because I hate shopping. And then this lovely guy from, he says, can I help you? And I went, yeah, can you tell me where the masks are, please? And he goes, I said, for spraying. And he goes, oh, yeah, aisle 10, I think it was. All right. So I went down there and got what I wanted, and I was out of there in about 10 minutes. So, yeah, you know, but some people love shopping. I don't. I'm not one of those people. So then the other thing is that people do around Christmas is they start worrying about what the new year might bring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's worry. So this is anxiety about the future, you know. So they might be worried about their job, or they might be worried about what's happening in the world.
This is a bit overwhelming, Steph. We're stressed about getting to Christmas, and then as soon as we stop, we're like worrying about what's happening next.
Well, this is what some people do. This is why I'm saying that some people are not feeling the Christmas vibe that other people are, you know.
If you're feeling the stress of getting to Christmas and you're still in a stressful state, your mind will prompt you with more things to worry about, won't it?
Yeah, exactly. So you think a negative thought, and then that attracts another negative thought, and another one, and another one, and you know. So the way to get out of it is sometimes to go for a walk and talk to some people or whatever. And so the thing about that is then is you can look at what you've achieved this year. Some people go, I haven't achieved everything. You go, well, actually, you have if you think about it, really. You will have achieved some things, and focusing on what you've achieved in this year. And
if you're in that anxious state, you actually have to work really hard to. Because like I said, your brain doesn't want to prompt you with the good stuff you did. It's trying to prompt you with more things to be anxious about. Yeah.
This is where a diary is useful. I keep a diary, and you know, I write appointments and things in, but also I write down what's happened during the day and things like that, and then I can look back and go, oh, yeah. Or I might go, oh, when was it I did so-and-so? And I can look back and find it. So that's quite useful. But the other thing is don't compare your achievements with people like Oprah Winfrey or Richard Branson, you know? You know, so it's like, oh, you're better this year than you were last year.
They've got staff.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And billions of dollars at their disposal, you know? And then the other thing is being genuinely grateful for what you do have, because that's, I think that's really important, because it's easy to look at what we haven't got. But if we start focusing on what we have got, then that'll attract another thought about what we have got, you know.
Mm.
So a happy family, healthy family, you know, a house, a roof over your head, you live at the beach, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can be grateful for. And then, you know, making some positive plans for the next year. So making some goals, my goal setting book.
Just drop that in there. Steffi yeah. Philp. What's the book called, Steph?
It's called Goal Setting, Seven Principles to Achieve Remarkable Success.
All right, thank you.
I think the iHub have got some, and Made over the road here have got some. And I've got 18 at home, but you have to give me a call to get one. And then the other thing is watching too many Christmas movies and listening to Christmas songs makes people depressed sometimes because, again, music is a really strong anchor to take people back to whenever. In fact, I haven't heard this year, I haven't heard Snoopy. Is it Snoopy?
Yeah, there's Snoopy, the song.
I haven't heard that. And I was thinking, that's weird, I haven't heard that. I mean, I only listen to the radio, I'm driving in and out usually, occasionally this. And I haven't heard it. The Red Baron.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's funny, I haven't heard that, because I've heard every other blinking Christmas song that there possibly is. I didn't realise how many there were.
I know. And the thing is, they're like, a lot of the Christmas songs, they're like a cash-in for some artists to, you know, they're going to make a Christmas album and it's going to sell no matter how bad it is.
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
The songs are never very, there's not a lot of depth to them.
No. Yeah. And some of them, I was listening to Boney M on the way in, Mary's Boy Child, it was, you know, the reggae version of Mary's Boy Child from Boney M. And I went, oh, I remember that one.
Maybe we should cue that up.
Years ago. I quite like them, Boney M.
Yeah, Boney M's cool.
And then...
hold on, I'm going to look for that.
I'm not going to say
hold on, but you keep doing your thing.
And then also Christmas movies, you know, like I think I've watched... I forgot what it's called now. What's the Christmas movie? Love Actually.
The Christmas movie?
Yeah, the Christmas movie, Love Actually.
Oh, yeah, that's an okay movie. Yeah.
I've probably watched it every year for the last 5 years.
Okay.
I really like it.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in it, you know. There's a lot, but there's also a lot of cheesy Christmas movies. I thought that's what you were going to talk about. You were going to tell people, don't watch those. They'll bring you down.
Sometimes you don't know they're cheesy till you're halfway through, and then for me it's like, oh, I can't be bothered to watch this, and then I go, well, you've watched it now, it might get better. Usually they don't, though, you know.
So that sunk effort fallacy or something, sunk cost fallacy? No. I've already put a three-quarters of an hour into this.
Or fear of missing out on something that could have been good at the end.
I've already put all this time into it. I better stick with it. And then you waste the next quarter of an hour, three-quarters of an hour.
So getting anchored into, you know, maybe old movies or Christmas songs can get you feeling a bit, you know, down.
If that's what the anchor does to you, Christmas songs
are more likely to do it than Christmas movies.
Yeah,
because they might remind you of happy times when you're a child, and then it's like, well, it's not like that now.
Mm.
So it's like a triggering of where you are now compared to when you were seven. You know, because 7-year-olds are usually happy. You know?
So a lot of what you're talking about is just planning. It is planning things, really. Planning it well.
Well, some of it is, but sometimes you can't.
Well, plan not to do certain things.
Plan to do some other things and be in certain places.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is to feeling stressed about the obligations that you feel over Christmas. You know, that it's got to be, like I said before, it's got to be a perfect Christmas. No, it doesn't. It's just got to be a happy Christmas where you're spending time together, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And does everything need to be done by you? You know, can the kids do something? Or can somebody else do something to help, you know? And then feeling resentful is a good one. You know, like people are like, I just need some time to myself. I just need some space. Because everything, you know, there's people there all the time and they just need, you know, like maybe a couple of hours to go to the bedroom and read a book. So do it. Yeah, do it. Please yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Go on holiday, read a book, head to the beach or the hills or the bush, stay in bed all day, lock the doors and pretend you're out. Volunteer somewhere to help others have a nice time, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if there's anything to volunteer at in Raglan on Christmas Day. I know there's a Christmas takeaway dinner down at the wharf. Raglan Wharf Kitchen and Bar. People can pop down between 11 and 2 and pick that up.
Okay.
But that's the only thing I know of.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there might be other things.
I've heard there's something else happening, but I haven't had any confirmation, so I'm not going to say what it is in case it was a rumour, then it's incorrect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So basically, just to remind you, those again, it could be missing a dear friend or relative, You or other members of your family have moved away and the family can't all be together. You're strapped for cash. Worrying about what the new year might bring. Watching too many Christmas movies and listening to Christmas songs. Feeling stressed from trying to meet too many obligations and feeling resentful.
So this is your list of things that can go wrong.
Those are the list of things that obviously that often make people feel a bit down.
Right. And the solution?
The solution is, you know, to don't take it all too seriously. And again, you know, if you are feeling down, you know, take some time and feel down and let it out, you know, and go, okay, well, feeling down, what's the reason? Okay, well, it's because of this, 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 and this. Okay, I'm going to have a little cry and then move on, you know, or talk to somebody about it and then move on, you know.
Yeah.
And then do those other things that we talked about before, you know. So both of these articles are on the website. This one is called Ho Ho Hold It Together, A Guide to Overcoming Christmas Blues. And the other one is the first one. If you go to the website and look under free articles, it's the first one because I just wrote it last week.
And their website is InsideYourMind.com.
InsideYourMind.com.
How did you get that one?
Inside Your Mind.
Yeah. How come no one else had that?
Well, I did. I had to buy it. To start with, I had a... it was called Metamorphosis. And of course, that seemed like a good idea in 1998. And then nobody could spell it. And then I had a book called Inside Your Mind, the first book that I wrote, and a CD. And I had insideyourmind.co.nz.
Yeah.
But insideyourmind.com was taken. And then just at the start of COVID, I think just before, I found it was for sale. And so I bought it.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then I had to change all the books because I couldn't have everything being the same title. So now it's called, How to Change Your Mind.
Right.
Yeah.
I've just started playing the song in the background. The volume's low so we can still be heard.
Right.
But Boney M. Mary's Boy Child, it's a Christmas song. I haven't played any Christmas music yet. But I thought Boney M.
In honour of me.
Some disco.
And it's Jamaican, not Jamaicans.
I'm still not sure I'm going to like this, but anyway, thank you for coming in, Steph. Thank you for coming in all year too.
Oh, you're welcome.
And helping me make the show what it is, whatever it is.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you again in the new year.
You will. Okay. Yeah. Happy Christmas, everybody, or Merry Christmas.
And here we go. It's Boney M. with their Christmas song.
Tears of joy and laughter, people shouted, let everyone know.